Welcome to another episode of the Pleasantly Persistent Podcast. Here with Ewan Bain today. I didn't ask the pronunciation of your last name. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, it's all good.
But yeah, really excited to chat. Yeah, man, I can just tell from your LinkedIn post that you're a really thoughtful, mindful person. So excited to chat. Intro yourself, what you're up to, and we can go from there.
Yeah, awesome. Well, yeah, like you said, my name's Ewan Bain. I'm the founder of Purpose Performance, which is a mindset and physical performance brand. So like you say, we help people become more mindful and the mind-body connection and how they can use their thoughts and things like journaling to improve their performance in everyday life, be that physical, be that career-wise, relationship, but just kind of taking control of your mind and then using that to increase your performance in other areas of life.
Mm-hmm. So when did this enter your world? Did you have mindful, conscious parents, or was this, I feel like often people's trickier parts of their human journey help spawn this? How did this all come to be where this was in the forefront for you?
Yeah, so this didn't really come around to me until probably about a few years ago. So like growing up, I was my goal was to become a professional soccer player back in Scotland where I grew up. And you know, that goal didn't come to fruition, and I moved to the States to play in college. And again, just very physically driven, like everything was about athletics and, you know, just pushing myself physically and training and things like that. But there was always something just like holding me back, and I could never quite figure out what it was. And it wasn't until I really sat down and said, okay, like what's going on mentally in my mind here that's holding me back? And I realized that it was me, right? It was me all along holding myself back. And so I was like, okay, well, how do I train this? How do I do things about this? And that's when I started exploring the mindset training and the mental fitness side of things, and got really into journaling and things like that, and just taking control of your thoughts and your mind. And you know, once I started doing that, there was no going back, because I just saw how much power there is in your own mind. And when you can take control of that, you can really do anything you set your mind to.
Mm-hmm. So what did you pick up on early on? Was it negative? Was it negative self-talk? Just bad patterns? What'd you pick up on?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me was that negative self-talk. It was like the self-doubt. You know, I suffered a lot of injuries and setbacks throughout my playing career. And every time that happened, it would just like add another kind of like brick on top of that. And so I'd tell myself, you know, I wasn't good enough. I wasn't as good as the other person. Comparison was a big thing there that I'm sure we're all aware of nowadays. You know, you're always comparing yourself to other people. But yeah, just like, you know, having those like mental hurdles in your mind where you're telling yourself you can't do something or you shouldn't do something. That was the biggest thing for me. But that, like, you know, compounds over time, right? So when you're telling yourself negative things every day for so long, eventually you start to believe them, right? And so it really became this like, you know, hurdle that I just had to get over, this barrier that really held me back for a long, long time.
Yeah. And so you discovered, which is amazing, that there was negative, like limited self-talk going on. And then what did you do? Was there like teachers or a coach that you connected with? Like, how did you grow? Was it all just you doing your own thing?
Yeah, it was a lot of trial and error. So it took me quite a few years to really figure it out. A lot of time watching YouTube videos, trying different things. You know, I tried pretty much everything from meditation, journals, you know, cold plunges, everything you can think of, I was doing it. And I still do most of them today, but it's a lot more refined. It's a lot more specific to me and my personal journey. But yeah, I just tried everything I could get my hands on and just really, you know, focused in on it. Was very intentional with what I was doing. And that was probably the biggest thing that helped was, you know, what's the purpose behind doing all this stuff? You know, you can meditate every day, you can journal every day, but what's the intention, right? What are you trying to get out of it? And once you kind of dialed that in and your purpose, your why, that's the biggest thing that helped me.
So out of everything you've dove into, what have been like the real just like pillars? It's been journaling.
Journaling's the main one for me. Do it every day. That's the one that helped the most. I realized I had a lot of, you know, stuff unprocessed up here for many, many years, and just being able to get that out and get it on paper just helps you analyze it. It helps you see it a little bit more clear, and you're able to then process it.
It's amazing. I am also a journaler, and like trying to figure something out on your own head, like you're just in thought world. Like you don't stand a chance, like maybe a little chance, but like it's just so messy, right? Mm-hmm. And like pen to paper, it just like stops.
Yeah. It really helps you break it down. And someone once told me this, it's like you wouldn't try and solve the most complex math equation ever in your own head. You would write it down, you would show your work, and you'd break it down. But yet when it comes to our own complex problems, we just try and solve everything in our own mind. And it's kind of like that same thing. When you start writing, it's almost like you're showing your work in. You're able to break it down into the parts that you know you can handle, and then you can break it down into other sections. And it just helps you see it a lot more clearer. And once you can actually see that pathway, it just kind of opens up doors that you didn't even know were closed at that time.
Yeah. So what do journaling... What does your daily journaling look like?
Yeah. So for me, I actually created a product called the Purpose Journal. That's what Purpose Performance is all about. And so instead of just having just a blank journal, which is what I think a lot of people struggle with when they first get into journaling, I created like a mindset training plan for people to do through this journal. And so it's a bit like going into the gym without a workout plan. It's like, yeah, you're probably going to get some benefit to it, but again, like I said earlier, it's that intention. You know, when you go in and you know what you're going to be doing, you know why you're doing what you're doing, it just helps you get so much more benefit and so much more depth out of it. And so I've got my Purpose Journal here, and every single day, what you do is you read through a different topic, a different prompt, and then it actually gives you a question to get you journaling about it. And so it just helps kind of open up your mind a little bit. And so instead of you just sitting down and thinking, all right, what do I have to journal about today? It actually kind of walks you through that process. And so it helps get the creative juices flowing and helps you do that. And then every day builds from the last day. So you're actually building a bit of progressive overload as well. And again, like you would in the gym. And so it just helps you train your mind a lot more efficiently and a lot more effectively.
Yeah, I love it. So are you coaching people through this, or you're selling the journal?
So both, they kind of go hand in hand. So you can purchase the journal on our website, but then if you also want to go deeper into like mindset training, also do, it's kind of a well-rounded approach to training. It's not just mindset, it is physical training as well that I do. But they go hand in hand, right? There's such an importance to the mind-body connection. I also do coaching for people that want to dive deeper into themselves, into their nutrition and things like that as well. You can also just buy the journal and go through it on your own. It's got that framework, it's got that structure, you can walk through it. You could do either or.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I have so many journals, like several in different places, so they're always close by. I like to do what you're talking about is some kind of proactive journaling, but I also, are you familiar with Byron Katie?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so, and so I really connect with her work, and so I'll have journals around, and then I'll just like, I'll be in a thought and just putting that thought on the paper and kind of dissecting a little bit. It just loses its power. Yeah. Right. It's I love pen to paper. It's
really. Yeah. There's something about it. And I know there's lots of research about it that, you know, I can't explain myself, but they all talk about just that connection as you're writing. Your brain has to process the pen to paper differently than they would any other form, right? Typing notes on a laptop or something like that. So there's such, you know, incredible power between actually writing it down. Your brain just analyzes it different. So it's definitely something I recommend for everyone to try at least. It is difficult sometimes, because sometimes the blank page, right? It's definitely confusing for some people.
Totally. No, I love what you have, like the guardrails and some prompts. I personally am really excited to check it out. Yeah. So who, I don't know, what teachers, books, podcasts over your years have really like resonated and helped carve your path or direct you? And, you know,
I've read a lot of books on this and things like that. The main one I always come back to is James Clear and Atomic Habits. That's the one that always stuck out to me. One of the most popular books in the world for good reason, right? And just that, you know, simple daily actions have such a profound effect over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when I first got into this and I was trying so hard to train my mind, it was, you know, trying everything because I wanted an instant result. You know, I wanted to change it overnight. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me years to even get to mm-hmm. this point. And it's that ability to, you know, do small things like journaling 5-10 minutes a day might not seem like much, but you do 5-10 minutes a day for a year, your life will change. So it will transform.
It's so important. I'm just speaking for myself here. It's so hard not to just like want it all or just to like be appreciative of small. Exactly what you're talking. I have not read the book, but you know, I feel like
it's a very like good one.
Power,
I recommend
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Just like the power of small. Yeah. Small habits. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else. Yeah. New Year's. Do you mess around or dance with New Year's resolutions or?
I don't personally. Typically what I find a lot of people is, you know, they set New Year's resolutions because they're motivated. I mean, we all do. It's the new year. You're ready to go. And then you end up failing by February, because you don't take the time to actually build the systems, build the habits, and then build the discipline that is required there. So if a New Year's resolution, I'm all for setting goals. And if that's the time you want to do it, great. But it's like, how do we build the systems in place in your life that's actually going to get you there? Because it's easy to set a goal, but what's not easy is to show up every single day in order to get to that goal. And that's where the magic happens, is in those little daily moments.
That's where the magic happens. 100%.
Yep.
And it's just great. You just feel good about yourself, right? Mm-hmm. It's like to create attainable, like just like us, whatever it may be for you, like small amounts of small gratitude journaling, mm-hmm. or just like small amounts of meditation, whatever it is. And you just feel good about yourself, which is like getting double goodness. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about creating your LinkedIn posts? You wait for inspiration? Do you have a running list of things you want to talk about? Or you just sit in front of the laptop and just like, what's your process around LinkedIn?
So I get a lot of them through my journaling, actually, is when like, kind of like what you mentioned, when I have a thought, I'll write it down. And then when I come to write my post, I try and spend intentional time every week coming up with my ideas and what I want to post and what I want to talk about. And so I'll come back to that journal and all the ideas I've written down, and then take the ones I like and then expand on them. And that's where I get most of my inspiration for my posts from.
Cool. And I think I saw you just on a recent LinkedIn post of yours, you just took some time off LinkedIn away from.
Yeah. Yeah, it just got to that point. I'm very self-conscious now, not self-conscious, self-aware of like my emotions and how I'm feeling mentally and things like that. And it just got to the point where I was comparing myself a lot and just overanalyzing the posts and how they were performing. And I was like, this isn't healthy for me right now. This isn't serving me right now. You know, and like we talked about earlier, you know, I just had a baby 2 months ago. So I was taking like my presence away from being a father at times. So I was like, this isn't the priority for me right now. So I'm going to take that break and kind of allow myself to reset, refresh, and journaled about it a little bit and then decided to come back. So, but yeah, sometimes you need that reset. Sometimes you need to slow down in order to speed up.
100%. Who, your home country of Scotland versus States, who takes mental health and mindfulness more seriously, or who's more on it?
That's a good question. I'll say Scotland's always been very good at that, actually. That's something that I see them doing well. But the States is starting to take it very seriously, particularly in like athletes and performance and in the workplace. I'm seeing a lot of growth there. So I think both still have a long way to go, but both are at least moving in the right direction and taking the right steps. So, which is great to see from both countries.
Yeah. What's something that you may see in Scotland and not the States where it comes to mental health and growth? Mm.
So a lot of like mental health awareness is taught at a younger age in Scotland. Mm. That's something that was presented
in what form?
In schools, like they'd have counselors come in and actually teach mental health awareness and how to process emotions. That was something we were taught, actually. And I'm seeing it now in like my family over there. I'm seeing that coming through. And so it's spoke about at a kind of younger age. So instead of having to kind of go through things and then realize later on in life, oh, this is actually an important topic, it's kind of presented and talked about at a younger age, which I think is important, particularly because that time of life, right, you're going through all these changes and emotions and you don't know how to process them. So that's something that I like a lot. And then a lot of coaches in sports have now got mental health training as well. So they're not just pushing their athletes physically and technically, they're actually training their minds as well at the same time, which is pretty cool.
So what will you do if you're having scary, bad, toxic, whatever you want to say, whatever your version is, thinking, you're in a bad thought spiral? How do you handle that?
Yeah, so it's all about disconnecting from that thought process and that thought pattern. The way I do it personally, and it might not work for everyone, is I just kind of disconnect from whatever I'm doing, close my eyes, and I meditate for about 10 to 15 seconds. Real simple, just nice deep breaths for 10 to 15 seconds, just like that. Yeah. But when you're doing it, you want to disconnect that thought pattern. So you start thinking about something else, you take your mind off of it. And that helps me a lot. I think sometimes what people do is they like overdo it almost, trying to get out of that pattern, if that makes sense. And so they actually end up spiraling because they're trying so hard to get out of it. That's something I've noticed in a lot of clients I've worked with in the past, is they all have these crazy techniques to try and deal with stuff, and they end up getting more stressed out about the techniques than they did about the actual thought.
Such as?
So like, you know, like overcomplicating meditation processes. I've had people that they'll go and try getting cold plunges and things like this. And I'm like, I do that every morning. It's great. But when you're going through a bad thought pattern, it's just having that kind of quick, you know, disconnect, reassess, and then you can get back to your flow. That's kind of the main thing I always try and teach.
What is your morning routine, whether you want to say your ideal morning routine or your actual morning routine? Maybe it's the same. What does that look like, and what's your evening routine?
So my morning routine starts in the evening. As I always say, a good morning routine starts the night before. So an evening routine, you know, once I get the kids down to bed and, you know, we finish bath time routine and everything like that, I'll come down and I'll journal about the day, just kind of reflecting, very great, gratitude focused on the day. And then what I'll do is I'll get my bag ready for the next day. I wake up and run. So I'll get like my running shoes looked out, all the clothes I'm going to wear and things like that. Then I try and be in bed by about 9:30 these days. Whether I'm asleep or not, you know, it's a different story, but I'll be in bed by 9:30. And then my morning routine, 5 a.m., I'll be up. I'll wake
up. Alarm's going off?
Alarm's going off at 5 a.m., yep. And I usually just jump straight out of bed these days, no snooze anymore. And then, yeah, I'll be up. I'll come. I'll get my water bottle ready, and then I'm out the door. I'll go run a few miles, come back, take a shower, journal. I'll pray. I'll do all that stuff that I need to do. And then my son will wake up, and then it's, you know, on to dad duty from there. You know, make breakfast and do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I appreciate the reminder during this conversation. Yeah, man, pen to paper. For me, even if I like writing someone either a love gratitude note, like I always have post-it notes around, leave my family notes, and and just like myself journal. It's just so powerful. It's just like, man, yeah, the mind is a crazy place. You know, I don't know if, you know, I don't think we can ever fully get control, right? So it's just like more control is just pen to paper, just getting yourself out of your thoughts into a more controlled, empowered place.
I mean, like you say, if someone writes you a handwritten letter over a text, which one are you gonna, you know, feel more connected with, right? It's just that, you know, connection, that you're disconnecting from all the distractions of the world, and you're just reconnecting with your own thoughts and your own words.
What's your relationship with your devices in the evening and the morning?
I shut them off at night and even nowadays. You know, obviously being on social media is part of the business, so you have to be on there. But that's something I struggled with for quite some time, was I'd be on scrolling and just looking at things and, you know, not really having any purpose behind why I was on there. So now it's Usually about 7 o'clock at night, I'll shut it off. I don't go on it anymore. And then when I wake up, I won't open it up until about 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, give or take, depending on what's going on. But yeah, just having that kind of shut off time, not looking at screens, not looking at phones. And one, it helps with your sleep, which is a vitally important thing, but it helps so much with your mindset as well. Just not having that constant distraction and things just trying to vie for your attention. I can be more present with my kids. I can be more present with my wife, and I can definitely just focus more on myself and my thoughts and just think more clearly as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, as we start to wrap here, I mean, if someone was wanting to grow, improve, or was new to this work, yeah, what's the most simple direction? Like, if they're going to try something out for a week to like dip a toe in, what would you recommend?
So for me, it's always going to be journaling is what I'm going to recommend. But I always tell people, you know, start small. You know, you're not going to transform your mindset overnight. This is going to be a process. It's going to take time. And yeah, just start out, you know, take small baby steps, right? So if you're trying journaling for the first time, just, you know, write down some things you're grateful for a week and see how that changes. And then you can expand on that the next week. But yeah, like don't try and overdo it too quickly. Otherwise you're probably gonna, you know, feel the effects of that. But like, you wouldn't go into the gym and just throw 400 pounds on the squat bar and go for it, right? You'd probably ease yourself into it a little bit. The same goes for your mental fitness. So yeah, just take small steps. And then I encourage people to try new things as well. You know, meditation might seem weird the first time you do it. Felt weird the first time I did it. Now it's a daily practice, because you just have to kind of find your own flow and find what works for you, and then stick to it.
Yeah, and there's so many free ways. You know, it's not just like you setting a timer for 5-10 minutes. Like Insight Timer is, I love it. Sarah Blondin is my main person. It's just like 7 to 12 minute meditations. Just right there for free.
Yeah, there's a lot of free resources that you can go look at for things like meditation and breath work and all that stuff. So
Awesome, man. Well, good. Well, I'm really happy we connected. Someone I follow on LinkedIn, Will Nitza, he said in a post the other day, he was like, he recently started a podcast, and he was like, one of the main reasons I like is like, you'd never like I wouldn't reach out to you. Yeah. You know, and be like, hey, let's talk about like mindfulness for 25 minutes. But like the podcast is an excuse to kind of get to know someone and chat about it. So I really appreciate what you're doing, man. You know, mindfulness and purpose and is really important. And it's really comes through clearly, at least to me, that you, you're walking the walk, that you're living a really thoughtful life with purpose. So good on you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you having me on. Like you say, like, I love these conversations and I'm glad you reached out.
Yeah, for sure. So where can people connect with you and learn about what you are doing?
Yeah. So the two main places that you're going to find what I do is on LinkedIn and also on Instagram. I'm very active on there as well. Just at @ewanbain1. That's my handle on Instagram. And then, if you want to check out the Purpose Performance website, you can do that as well. That's where you're going to get access to the journals, but there's also some other resources on there that you can look at if you're looking to ever get into journaling or mindset training.
Yeah, awesome. All right, Ewan. Well, thank you very much, and talk to you later.
Thank you very much.